Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
There's a whole fleet of them. Look on the ASA. Oh my gosh. They're all going against the wind.
It was basically a cube with inside of sphere where the points of the cube were touching outside of the sphere.
So this isn't anything that just is limited to the United States. It's a worldwide phenomenon.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to That UFO Podcast. As always, my name is Andy, and this is the Chase Klitzker Part 2 interview. Thank you very much if you've listened to part one already. The feedback's been fantastic. Just before we get into part two, I just want to remind everyone that you may start hearing a very small advert before or at the end of the show. Advertising revenue for the podcast is really, really important. If you really don't like the adverts and you want to support the show, if you sign up to the Patreon for as little as $1 per month at patreon.com/thatufopodcast, all the shows will be loaded on there ad-free in their entirety as well. So you can listen to the shows with the ads and it will help the podcast a little bit. Or you can sign up to the Patreon, help the podcast that little bit more, get something for it. Remember, you'll get stickers, t-shirts or hoodies depending on the level, and more merchandise is coming soon. Or you can just listen to the show as is with the adverts, and it's all very much appreciated, folks. So thank you very much for sticking with the podcast and helping it grow. A lot more still to come this month. Just as a tease, there is, in this coming show, there is Missing Time, an abduction hallmark, mysterious figures, eyes watching people in a field, an alien base on the moon, and that's only the first 10 minutes of what you're about to hear. So let's get back to part two with Chase Klitzker.
Well, I've actually spent time with them, and that's when, you know, some of their critics, it's like, have you even spoken to him? Have you been to that place? Have you investigated, you know? And the other thing is, you know, this man has been through everything. Like, he was humiliated. MUFON ruined his life, literally sent him into almost bankruptcy. You know, I mean, MUFON absolutely devastated him. And this is a guy that comes through. So what I do know is that through my spending time with them, Ryan is amazing. This is a good kid. His kids, all of them are like amazing in something. So like his daughter, well, she was, you know, homecoming queen, and I was there to watch her get crowned, which is a big deal because I was homecoming queen. So it was a big deal, but she, you should hear her play piano. She's a savant. It's crazy. And you know, the whole family is extraordinary, and I have been there and have personally seen and actually taken samples of crazy crap. Period.
So, on that then, the listener who got in touch wanted me to ask about a potential abduction experience you had with Chris Bledsoe and your husband, I believe.
I don't confirm or deny my husband was in there, and I'll tell you why, because he still has a security clearance working for, you know, people. So yeah. I'm not going to confirm or deny he was on that team. But yes, there was something so weird because we get this call and, you know, this woman's freaking out. She's a registered nurse because her husband's a police officer. And there were two police officers that called to this area. And it's in this little batch of woods. I don't know if they have this in the UK, but in the United States, when you have big power lines, you know, like those big, they're the,
They're called pylons in the UK.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, but they always have this little batch of woods that kind of helps eat up some of the EMF before it reaches the neighborhoods. And they're little, they're not big. And anyway, these police officers called out to this property because people called in and they thought that there were kids playing and there's an old slaves quarters. So this is a very historic site. Kids like to go and party and go in and, you know, so the cops go out there and they're walking out and they see this being, what they reported to me. And it was like 7 foot tall, maybe 8, but more like 7. And it was really, really thin. And they described it where their head was like a balloon, where it's really kind of tiny at the bottom, but real big at top. And it was white. And it looked at them and it kind of ducked behind a tree for a moment, but then it came back out. They're police officers. What do? They do what they're trained to do. They pull out their weapons and they told it to freeze, which seems silly now, but in the moment, they don't know what that is. And they're not thinking alien or ghost. They're thinking kids playing pranks. So they say freeze. All of a sudden, that being kind of crouches just a little and looks like it's going to lunge them. And they fired their weapons. Well, being on duty, and the minute they did, the being was gone. Just gone. Well, the minute they fired their weapons, they're on duty, so they have to report it. And when they told their stories, of course, they were just the butt of every single joke for the next couple of weeks. And the lady called me because she was worried because she believed her husband, and he was really having a hard time with it. He couldn't sleep. You know, there was, you know, just things, and he didn't care about the teasing. He just, like, there was just something going on there, and it just really shook him up. So I agreed to go out there and I pulled a team together. So because these police officers were being ridiculed, Chris Bledsoe just lives right in the next town over. And knowing what he's been through, I thought would be the perfect liaison or kind of contact when I left. You know, I'm very scientific. I don't do a lot of the, you know, but Chris would be the perfect person to continue to help them. And so we go out there and we're investigating, and, you know, there's a team of us. I wanted to go out because of the power lines send off a lot of EMF. Well, EMF's dangerous. It can cause hallucinations, make you feel like you're being followed. You know, it causes a lot of paranormal type symptoms. So I wanted to go out and measure how much of that was coming off the power lines, but also when did it end? Like, when did it dissipate through these woods? So I'm starting to go out and I get, you know, some of my readings or whatever, but we enter the woods. It's at night. We've already been there in the, you know, slaves quarters, looking at the area. They saw the being. Like, this is a tiny patch of woods. You could almost from one end across and see the opening to the big field and the power lines. So we get in there and it's nighttime and we're walking and I'm starting to get a little like, wait a minute, guys, like, it's not that big. What's going on? And we came down this little ditch. It was like a little ditch. And we came out of it. And at that point, I knew from previously being there, we should have seen the field and the power lines and the opening at least. And it wasn't there. We walk around for a little bit. I mean, you know, I don't really guess at how much time we did. I can tell you it was enough that I was really getting a little peeved. You know, I was getting a little peeved because this is ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. I'm leading a team and I can't get us to the other side of this freaking little, what, maybe 1 acre, maybe 1 to 3 acres. Like, come on. All of a sudden we come back up to this ditch and we go down it and we come up and sure enough, there it is. There is the opening like it should have been the first time. Well, at this point, it was a little bit before this. Several people on the team were not feeling good, feeling nauseous, feeling a little dizzy. We had to stop for about 5 minutes for everybody to kind of settle down. But it was a couple weeks later where one of the people that I trust that helps me with evidence actually called and said, Chase, you're not going to like this. Sit down. I'm like, oh God, I hate it when they say that. And he said, all three helmet cams are missing 8 minutes. So I called Chris Bledsoe and I'm like, Chris, I just heard from so-and-so, the evidence guy. I can't believe what he told me. He says, yeah, we're missing about 10 minutes, right? Blown away. True story. So I was just like, I'm like, Chris, why didn't you say something before? And they all know I wouldn't have liked it. I needed evidence. You know, I didn't believe that there was any missing time. I would have never said that. I would have said, absolutely not. We were in that woods. We just couldn't get out. So, you know, that I think believe that's what the person was referring to.
Yes.
During that time also, we did see, Chris pointed out at one point, he tapped me on the shoulder. He goes, do you see that? And I did see like these two eyes watching us, and they were pretty high up. So, you know, it was kind of that eye shine. Does that make sense?
Yep.
And Chris saw it. Two other people saw it. I saw it. And it was odd because you see something like that and we're just like, okay, we're just walking along. Like, you know, but yeah, that was that night.
And it's got the hallmarks of a classic potential abduction experience or missing time or something's happened with, you know, going round and round and you think, I know, you get the feel for a distance and this isn't quite right. So the person did elaborate and he believes that speaking with the Bledsoes, that there was potential that it was filmed with sound, that the video was seen, and potentially Chris believes you were taken to a moon base.
I haven't. It's funny because I haven't had time to really back up. Like Chris learns more and more with his experiences. I don't remember any of it, honestly. If I was taken to a moon base, that would be cool as crap, and I wish I remembered it. But right now, I can tell you, I honestly, I have no idea. And what Chris, you know, comes up with is really something that I would give it a lot of credibility. I'm not so sure I believe it all, but it's not that he's a liar or it's not that he exaggerates. It's because maybe I'm not there yet. I don't know. But I do know that Chris and his son, Ryan impressed me totally. In fact, I was the first and only person to hear what he went through personally since he told that story one time to move on. And he hasn't spoken to anyone since. I'm the only person he talked to about that. And that was the kind of trust we had. And, you know, I just, you know, Chris is a legit phenomenon.
I spoke to Ryan on the very first weeks of starting this podcast on Twitter. I was reaching maybe a little bit high for really early on, even though like Gary, Sean, the people I spoke to in the early episodes were amazing to come on for an absolute nobody to speak to me. Maybe now with a little bit more steam behind us, I'll get back in touch with Ryan again. But so
yeah, because he's a great kid. He really just kind of wants to move on. Like it just didn't hurt Chris. This kid was in high school and they called him a liar on TV, which proven to be absolutely wrong. You know, MUFON's, you know, lie detector test was bogus. It was completely done in a wrong way. Everything they did was wrong. Honestly, I'm here to tell you, and many other experts will tell you that as well. Completely blew it. And they kind of set him up. It was horrible. But this kid at, you know, in high school at that young, he's a young male, you know, really kind of coming up. It devastated them. Do you know that because of what MUFON and that TV show said, that his children were actually pulled from school several times a year and asked, how are things at home? Is your dad still talking about alien? Like, you can't even imagine the devastation. And this family even almost broke apart. They were this close, like hanging on the thread, and they've managed to become back and back strong. And that's just the will of, you know, it's a good example for other people who may be having a hard time with some things, is that, you know, with the right structure or the right kind of nudge, you're going to make it. You're going to be okay. You're not going to be the same, but you can make things better.
And that's well known. If you're in this subject or in this topic, I think we've all experienced to some degree you in the kind of almost more celebrity you've had, and you've appeared on TV shows and everything. So we can say that too, that you get a lot of flack, whether it's from family, from friends, from colleagues. The subject still has that stigma, and there are questions based on that as well. But you've said that I was really interested in the way you answered part of one of the questions, and I appreciate it's. For all I like to talk about the subject seriously and objectively, no matter who you speak to, when you start asking about moon bases, that is a more out there aspect of the subject. But still, you said that maybe potentially you're just not there yet to discuss or think or really be able to open up that that may have happened or may not have. Have you ever thought about or tried hypnotic regression for that?
I have. And I've actually been offered by some of the best out here. And the reason I don't is I kind of feel like if I'm not remembering something, maybe I'm not supposed to. And I'm okay. But I'm stable right now. It's like, you know, things are going really well. Do I really want to like flip my life upside down? And to me, it's like, if it happened, that's great. And how am I going to prove it anyway? I mean, what good is that going to do in the long run? You look at people like Travis Walton, who has one of, like, or Chris Bledsoe, the most amazing, credible stories ever. My favorite part of Travis Walton is he never said he was an abductee. That was all done for him before he got back. So, you know, these guys have been, they've been shredded and shredded and shredded. And you know, why? I tell my witnesses, you want to come out, potentially this, it could happen. Potentially you get invited to a couple conferences and then people kind of forget you after a while. You know, so I'm very, very blunt, and I just give them the whole picture. Some come out, some don't.
Did you speak to Lou Elizondo about the experience?
You know, I don't think I have. And it's mostly because when we're together, like the last time I saw him, he was here. They were filming in DC. My husband and I met him and Anthony, the director or the showrunner, and the whole staff was there, and we just met for dinner and just had a really great time. I've been to the Stars Academy headquarters 3 times. One was with a meeting. The other two were just kind of, hey Lou, we're, you know, down in 29 Palms visiting my son. What are you doing? He's like, come on up. I can't stand it. So, you know, we'll go up there. And again, extremely generous, because I'm just going to be honest. We go out into the store, and I'm like, oh, I need some swag. He's like, pick out anything you want. It's on me. So, I mean, you know, and my husband was with us because, honestly, my husband texts him as much as I do, so to speak. And they're veterans. They're military veterans together. They come from the same cloth, and they knew each other. They're brothers. And so there was an immediate bond between all of us. And to this day, he treats me kind of like a little sister.
Well, if you ever, well, next time you speak to Lou, I just spent like $100 on t-shirts and hoodies. So yeah, you can tell him if they want an autograph next time if he spots the name. But yeah, I had to give in as well because I've wanted to buy some stuff from the store. And listen, I've always said it's not a secret, and I'm sure there's people listening to this that hate To The Stars, and I bang on about it. I'm an absolute fanboy for the Unidentified, for Lou, Tom, the whole crew, what they do. Yes, they've made mistakes. No, they're not perfect. And I don't think people have to believe in them, but whether you believe their whole story, whatever they're doing, they have opened up this conversation in a way that no one else ever has. And I feel there's a whole part of ufology and the history of it that is not irrelevant now, but it's time that that's locked up and moved on from, because
Stars Academy has outgrown the status quo. They have raised that bar so high that if you're not having, you know, people with almost security clearances and evidence and videos from our best tech out there, you know, our fighter jets gathering information. And so, they raised the bar, and it needed to be done. We've been redundant spinning wheels. I mean, you know, MUFON has a decent role as collecting reports. What have they put out in 50 years? Zilch, zilch, nothing. And that really has affected the field of ufology or science behind it or anything. So, you know, I think these groups and, you know, even some of the investigators like myself, if you're not going to up the game, if you're not going to somehow work on security clearances, you won't be part of the discussion in the future of where this is going. Unless you're a young gun. These young guns, I'm not even joking. Like, you're one of the, you know, front guys as one of the young guns. Danny Silva, there's a few others, and they're rocking it. And people like me and George Knapp and a lot of other people are looking at them, Richard Dolan, and we're looking at you guys like, thank friggin' goodness, because you're coming at this in the way it should be. You're not stumbling around in a field, you know, with a little, you know, pencil and pen, which, or paper, which, you know, okay, so you say this, where's the evidence? So you guys are really pushing this even further up, and a lot of people can't keep up with you, and I think that's where some of the resentment may be. But suck it up, people, because we're all about this movement going forward, and we needed the young guns. We needed the younger guys to come take over. Like, I'm old, Linda Moulton Howell. Like, we're getting up there to where we're almost, am I going to retire? No, I don't think so. But, but, you know, I think there's things that we have to. I love, I've asked Deep Prasad on UFO Twitter. He's helped in a very, very important case that's actually tremendously, it's like one of the best cases I've ever had. And I reached out to him because of what his science has done, his science backing up. And he worked with my witnesses like they were amazing. And so, you know, we need to start bringing in, you know, the younger groups. Everyone knows that I love Danny Silva. Call me a fangirl. I don't care. I love the guy. And, you know, it's just that's how all this goes. But UFO Twitter is kind of my favorite go-to right now because the people that are following that are involved. Does it get a little dicey sometimes? Yeah, that's okay. Does it get a little heated in debate? It does. That's okay. What it is there's this core group of people that, you know, there's Paul and Steven and you know them. You know them all. Like, we're all like, there's a core and we're going to work together and we're going to keep pushing this forward.
And that's it. And what excites me, just before I move on, is I'm going to talk about Roswell, the Phoenix Lights, Betty and Barney Hill, Travis Walton. All these cases have their place and have yet to be properly explained. And I do mean like as in 100% this is what happened. What I'd rather is the next time we really discuss those in great detail is because of what potentially TTSA or another group that might come along, who knows, what they find out and what comes to fruition. Those are then being explained as to here's what actually happened, because we've got incidents we're finding out happening last week, today, maybe right now. There's a nuclear carrier group out somewhere in an ocean being buzzed by Tic Tacs. And if it's US technology, wow, how did they break the laws of physics and when did they get this and how did they discover it? Is it back engineered? Is it, you know, what happened? That's fine. But if it's something else, then great. But this stuff's happening now. This is the stuff I want to see and hear about and see the cool videos of, because everyone from Roswell is dying or dead, which is awful, but it's because it's been so long. Whereas I feel it's incredible how quickly people want to move on past the Nimitz-Princeton incident. For me, that's the new Roswell as we stand. But people are sick of it already.
Yes, absolutely. And you're correct. And that's, you know, in Rendlesham, you know, one of the best documents, my favorite case, actually. And, you know, but we've heard him for the last 40 years. Come on, guys. Like, we have to have something different, which was what was so refreshing when, you know, when Lou put the stuff out here. And, you know, this is a guy of tremendous honor and character. So, you know, when you look back on his career and vetted a DD-214, the guy's not lying about any of it. You know, we needed that. We needed that new boost of a little adrenaline to get guys like you in the game full time, helping us run those balls down. In fact, I would say that a lot of you guys are, you know, quarterbacking now.
So Shauna, who is one of the Patreons as well, she's got a couple of questions. Have you got any advice on how to change someone's beliefs when it comes to UFO or paranormal events, when the evidence just isn't enough for them?
Yeah, a lot of times you're not going to change their mind. What you can do is just maybe challenge them with some of the latest evidence, which is, you know, a lot of people will kind of, I love Ancient Aliens, obviously. I believe some of it is a little stretched and far-fetched for me, but you look at Unidentified and the people behind the New York Times article and just the credentials, and to remind them of the tech, this is millions of dollars spent on a camera in a friggin' flyer or a jet, right? A fighter jet. And, you know, it comes up with this kind of evidence, and then you have witnesses of some of the most trained and dedicated, smartest people to fly these jets, and they're trained observers. Obviously, they know what's up there, and they're telling you, we didn't know what it was, and here's the proof, and we sent it to how many labs, you know, labs that we could never, we don't even know about, right? Like, you know, and they're coming out, and then you got some guy saying it's a seagull. So it's just, that's our world.
Yeah, and I mean,
but that's where I would go with it. I would go with the best evidence and modern evidence, because that's what's playing right now, like even on Tucker. So, you know, now that it's being given some respect in the mainstream media, but that's what I would suggest. And if they don't come forward or they don't drop, they kind of probably don't want to for whatever reason.
And you mentioned earlier on Anthony, which was Anthony Lippe, who's the showrunner for Unidentified. And I spoke with him for a preview of season two. And he mentioned that in all that testimony that they had sent in, they actually had people from NASA get in touch who just weren't ready to go on camera with some of the things they were talking about. And I thought that was incredible. And, you know, if we get a season three, that would be great to hear. But like you say, there's a lot of really credible evidence coming out there, and as crazy as some of it might sound, these are from the people that, these are the ones you have to listen to and have to believe.
Yeah, and because they have the security clearances and are part of the discussion that none of us are. And honestly, when Anthony can say that, Anthony's completely right. And they're even getting things brought in where I would imagine, let me put it this way. I would imagine that Lou Elizondo, Stephen Justice, and Chris Mellon would be read into certain aspects of the phenomena, even if it comes from outside sources like NASA or, you know, the Army or even NSA. You know, I've often said, you know, ufology has always had this kind of disdain for government people. Like a CIA guy can't have a sighting. Like we've kind of cut our nose off to spite our face for 50 years with a lot of the thinking and mindset in this, and, you know, the pushback, even with government, you know, when you're trying to lobby or get someone's attention, you don't stand out there screaming, you're a liar and you're hiding everything and we want to know the truth now. You know, in 50 years, we have picketed, we have had two full citizens hearings on disclosure, we have petitioned. They don't want us. They, you know, their mindset. Who are you going to call? You got to call a Chase Kletzi, or you can call Steve Justice.
And listen, it's a really good point, because I think sometimes you can just get so lost in what we're used to. Like, this is the mindset. This is what the process we follow with these things. These are the questions that we always ask. I spoke to Gary Voorhees, PJ Hughes, and Kevin Day on a roundtable for the incident of the Nimitz Princeton, and they mentioned they were talking about. One of the things that people very quickly will debunk the whole incident of being US tech or a military trial or test on its own people, which, let's be honest, I wouldn't put it past any government to do that, as bad as it may be, was how quickly people appeared on the carrier after Commander Fravor had his, like, you know, his contact, if we want to call it that. But they mentioned that, remember, this wasn't an incident that happened in 30 minutes in one day. These things were tracked by various organizations. You don't know who was looking at these things for 2 weeks yet. And I think they actually mentioned that there are organizations. I suggested something like, you know, a missile, what would you call it? A missile tracking station that would look for intercontinental ballistic missiles,
right.
Potentially,
right.
Because they wouldn't name it. But they said there are stations on the coast that may have been watching these things come in from wherever they were coming from. And that's why they were so quick to, when there was any kind of engagement, appear on that carrier and be like, no, we'll take that. We'll take this. Here's, and so you can totally get that. And sometimes it's just that what if that isn't out there yet. And I think people like Lou Elizondo, whether you're a fan of his or not, he's very good at what he does, and he drops in, like you say, subtle Easter eggs and hints, but sometimes not so subtle, when he'll say, "What if this?" And he does that look that you've probably seen in person, but I've watched on numerous YouTube clips and interviews where he looks up in a way as if, how do I say this in a way exactly. that I'm allowed to say yeah. it? And he just drops a bit of a which I always love. And you mentioned lobbying in DC. Shauna also wanted to ask, how much of your time do you still devote to lobbying? I know you're not registered anymore for that, and I'm not totally clued up on lobbying, but...
Yeah, and I didn't register because I never needed it. It's a registration that's kind of like a look at me, or, you know, I don't know how to describe it. I just didn't need it. If you're the right person with information that they want to know, they're going to let you in. And that's exactly what happened. I talked to junior staffers. I have talked to one senator, and some of the information was really just backing up some of the cases I knew about of what To the Stars is putting out. But, you know, lobbying right now is almost impossible because of COVID, and, you know, they're just not letting people. If you're non-essential, you're not going to get in. But you can still make phone calls. And there are UFO Twitter, oh my gosh, like how active are we as a group calling, emailing, like we're always putting that stuff out. I put the number out for, you know, the senators, like here's their phone number, guys, like call them. But we have to be smart about it. We don't want to call and say, you know, we know you're keeping secrets and we want disclosure now. I would do it smart. Okay. So when I'm talking to like Senator from Kentucky, I just lost his name. It'll come to me in a minute. Anyway, I'm talking to him. He's all about the money. So, you know, this is a libertarian. This is a Tea Party guy. And so I call and I said, you know, I'm really interested. I saw this thing on Tucker Carlson about these videos. Like, where's that money coming from? Like this whole like ATIP, like where did they get that kind of money? And, you know, that gets riled up. It's like, oh, yeah, I want to know, too. And are they still investing in this? So these are the questions that I ask when I'm there. I'm not gonna sit there and petition and, you know, point fingers at the government's keeping secrets. Of course they're keeping secrets. We have enemies, and even our friends spy on us. How do you think, you know, friggin' Israel got, you know, their latest helicopter? You know, so there are realities here that the average person like myself really doesn't realize until you get in the game. And the only way you're going to get in that game is realize where the influence is coming from. And in DC, if you're an insider, and I'm telling you, you can go and you'll see Steve Bannon, you'll see Raheem Kassam, you'll see Jack Maxey. You go to Morton Steakhouse and you start a discussion around the bar. The other place that's very, very effective where you're finding the right people with the right connections is the Army Navy Club. That's a club of former officers or even, you know, active duty officers.
Yeah.
And you mingle and you share things and, you know, they hook each other up and they're, you know, giving you job opportunities or whatever. But there's also an avenue where you're learning information. You're a trusted part if you're one of them. And that my husband is. So, you know, I think it's not so much, you know, just going up and, you know, walking the halls anymore, especially with COVID. It's not going to happen. You have to have the inside connections and know where the discussion will be listened to and moved forward.
And it's really interesting how you talk about a senator and how if they've got a particular interest in money, you talk about money. That's very similar, I'm guessing, to if you wanted to approach the military, you would use a threat narrative because you would want Correct. To discuss. So, and that's what I think people get too hung up on. Oh, it's, right. They're talking about threat and these things want to attack and how do we shoot them down? But no, when you're talking military, you're talking defense, and the opposite of defense is attack. So that's how you engage these people and how you get into that conversation.
And the guy I talked to was Rand Paul. So when you contact him and, right, he doesn't want to hear anything about UFOs. He could care less. Or it's like, well, is there something going on now I need to know? Well, yeah, where's the money going? So, you know, you have to play this. And in D.C., it is a game. I hate to say it. It is horrible and it's brutal. D.C. is tough. And you've got to honestly you need to fit in with the insiders. if any information is going anywhere. And that's why Lou and the guys are at 150% the guys on the inside of all of this right now.
That was Shauna. So Carl had a question which keeps us on the same theme. Hi, Chase. Do you see the trend continuing with more senators ignoring the stigma on the subject and tackling the UAP issue more head on?
I think it's definitely in more the intelligence side of the House and, you know, that kind of committee. The Justice Department's not going to be involved in that or anything at this time. But Intelligence Committee has all these subcommittees. And once you start getting working through that, I do believe it's moving forward. It's going to be slow. These guys can't even go to work half the time. It's annoying. They don't even show up. So right now, I think, you know, COVID's kind of flipped everything. But make no bones about, this is still being taken seriously and being moved not only through the Pentagon, but, you know, through the intelligence of the people that should know. The military hasn't stopped working because of COVID, and neither have, like, some of these, you know, the CIA, the FBI, whoever is involved in that. You know, they're not on break either.
I'd like to follow up on that one with, has or is the US election that's coming up affecting the progress on this, and is it going to make a difference as to who gets into government next, as to how this progresses, or is this something that is apart from that?
Yeah, and it doesn't matter, like, who you're voting for or who you're rooting for. I've always seen Trump as a disruptor. This guy is not a career politician. So what do you do when, you know, somebody comes in who is, who knows how DC works? This, don't ruffle this one. Don't go after Nancy Pelosi, you know, let her think she's a neck or whatever. You know, it's, I think we need a disruptor. I think we need someone who doesn't give a crap who it pisses off if there's secret keepers over here. I don't think he cares. He's talked about it a little bit. I haven't heard Biden say anything. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But I don't think it's necessarily about the president anymore. They're temporary employees. They're not going to get everything everybody knows, and they don't on anything. They just get the most important. But they're temporary. So, you know, they may not get everything, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Acom on Twitter was asking, what do you think the next steps are for Congress?
I think they need to push through, which I think that people think it's already passed, and it hasn't. This bill is still sitting. It's through everything it needs to be. It just needs to be finalized. And once that goes forward, then we start asking about these mysterious objects and things like this as we go forward. Again, it's how you message this if you're going to get a response. But it's the people that need to keep this going. Because if they're not interested, it's going to go right back where it usually is, and that's the military complex.
Are you hopeful that if and when this UAP task force comes to fruition and publish sort of report, that it's worthwhile?
Yes, but we won't see it. We may get some of it, but we're not going to see that report.
And you mean we're not going to see the good stuff that we want to actually see? That's the issue. We're not going to get to see the good stuff that we would want to see.
No, because if we really do have it in our possession, and I believe we do, we don't want Russia and China to know and even take this even further. Does that make sense? Like, we don't want them to know because now it's a new target of espionage. And it's very technical when you start thinking of national security.
Yeah. That's a good point, because that's something, like, obviously you straight away go to the superpowers, Russia, China, US, and if one of them's got it, then it's a new technology. But then I never thought about espionage before, and then you start to get a bit James Bond with it, don't you, that you then have people infiltrating and spies within governments and passing things back and forward. So yeah, it just opens up arguments that, you see, the common people, we just don't think about, and it goes into, like, heavy conspiracy territory. But it's just also fact that there'll be a lot of money and power at stake, and it goes beyond, you know, are aliens real, yes or no?
Yeah, and just having that exotic tech, it'd be the new Cold War. I mean, you think of the Cold War, it was all about, you know, obtaining uranium and nukes and, you know, the fastest plane. And, you know, it was just this big arms race. And it very well could turn into that again if there's, you know, confirmation on certain things. And I just don't think our protectors or the people that are in charge of our safety are going to put that out there.
That leads us on to a similar question from Breakwater. Do you believe we have crashed materials from UFOs? To the Stars Academy have said we do, but where would these materials be? Or is it a lie and we don't have anything?
No, they're not lying. They absolutely know of crashed material. And there are several ways. Now, I don't know where they store it, but, and I've never been told. That's a good question. I should ask that next time. But truthfully, didn't Robert Bigelow, like, he's been like a center trusted contractor in this whole thing forever. He admitted building a larger warehouse to store some of these objects. If it was me, I would guess that he had most of it. And the reason being private industry, he's not required FOIA. So he doesn't have to tell anybody anything, including the government. So it's probably the safest place to keep it. He had the security, he had the right bit, you know, he had everything he needed to put it there. That's my personal guess. I don't think Area 51 and all that. I think it's in private industry.
And that was something that follows up on there was a lot of focus on the $22 million budget that ATIP or OSAP had, when a lot of people made the point of that they were just, one, sharing resources the government already had, so they didn't need all this fancy tech and secret offices. And I imagine a lot of it was more administrative than people probably realised, like someone like Lou had to work in. But then what in the private sector? What was their involvement and what of that money went to them? Or obviously there was probably money that we didn't see on reports that went to these people. And like you say, it just makes it a lot easier to keep things out of FOIA requests, and they can do things that the government don't have to know about, or it's plausible deniability, isn't it?
Yeah. And, you know, there's a few insiders. One of the people out there that is probably, well, he's a legit journalist, first of all, but George Knapp, he's in the center of all of this, and they trust him because he knows when things need to be put out or whatever. But probably one of the most trusted journalists in all of this is George Knapp. And he's part of what we call the Vegas Pact. And that is, you know, Bigelow and the guy who owns Above Top Secret, I forgot, Mark Allen, you know, George Knapp, you know, there's this whole little group of guys out there that, you know, they stick together, and then they're working some things. George Knapp is very much a part of this phenomenon.
I'm obviously a big fan of George Knapp and Coast to Coast and all his kind of work he's done over the years as well. So another question.
I was so fortunate. I got to speak with him in Branson, Missouri. There's 3,000 people in the audience, and I'm a total fangirl with George Knapp. He's amazing, and he's so nice. He's such a nice guy.
I loved, he did an interview, I think it was with Jeremy Corbell on Coast to Coast a few months ago, and he talked about how he could have broken the story before the New York Times that Leslie Keene and Ralph Blumenthal did, but he realised, like a lot of people would have, but still have done it anyway, he realised the greater good here is they break the story, it's more legitimate. A lot of people don't know who George Knapp is in the mainstream media worldwide, but people know the New York Times. So it was the right thing to do. And I think that probably gets him a lot of respect in the background, more so than what he already had.
And that's where, exactly. And that's why a lot of the groups are getting smaller out here. And to have somebody with the kind of class and understanding and the just being so modest that I don't need that. I don't need to be the guy, like, you know, be a team player and really do the right thing for the phenomena. That's who I want to work with. That's who I want to talk to. I don't want to talk about some of these other bozos that they're all about, like shock jock ufology and putting people down and, you know, making things up and doing full radio shows, tearing down character. Who wants to work with them when you can engage guys like George Knapp and Lou and Steve Justice? Think of Chris Mellon. Oh my gosh, read his resume and realize that every single thing on every word on that page has 100 people that respect him and trust him completely. So, you know, I think that's what people forget too, is that, you know, there's things still going on out here, and the person that has that information may not need the credit. And there's a few of us that do that. And George is the example of class and grace.
You know, I've mentioned this before, but one of my favorite parts of Unidentified season 2, and I feel it's absolutely missed out, and you talk about Easter eggs with people, when the Black Triangle episode with David Marler is a bit large part of it, and Chris Mellon. And Chris Mellon's got that look on his face of, I wish I could just tell you, you know what. But he does a very rare thing. And Chris Mellon goes, do you know what I think the Black Triangles are doing? And he basically says he thinks they're mapping the Earth. And I was like, he knows more than most what's going on. And he's telling you there what is more than likely happening. So when he says these are mapping the Earth, it's never really been picked up on, and people have not heard a lot of follow-up on that, and he said that on camera.
Yeah, and Dave Mahler is probably one of our best researchers. He has the biggest library out of anybody. It took one guy with the fortitude and the foresight to start gathering real information, and not just everybody's junk. It's so impressive what he's done. He's the only one. For me, he's outdone MUFON, he's outdone any other group out here, museums, all of it. His collection is shocking.
It's incredible, When I saw that, that was I'm going to use the phrase, a wet dream. If you're into UFOs and you're a guy in your 30s and you see that, you think, oh my God, I wish my wife would let me do that. But yeah, I'm actually talking to David Marler, have been for a little while, so I'm hoping to get him on the show eventually as well. Moving on to a question from Mike Chase. What for you is the most compelling piece of evidence or footage out there for UFOs, aliens, UAP?
For me, it used to be the medal, like Bob White medal, or just the Rendlesham, like, you know, when he was talking into the tape recorder in real time, they find, you know, elevated nuclear readings or radiation readings, and, you know, document these holes in the ground or what could be considered landing gear. Those to me are the most compelling. Also, the witnesses like Travis and Chris, that, you know, how easy for one of these guys in that whole Travis Walton incident could have just said, you know what, guys, all right, you got us, you know, we're lying. They were even offered money. And as that time, that money was kind of a big deal. They didn't, and they don't always get along. So it would be easy to just screw one of them, right? And just say, blah. And it has never happened. So to me, the Travis Walton, Chris Bledsoe, in the physical evidence, some of the things we see, the implants, you know, most of them are junk. They're BBs or whatever. But there's some really compelling objects that have come out of some people that really we need to pay attention to.
Have you ever got to examine any of those ones?
Yes. In fact, right now, moving forward, one, and this is a really great one, guys, because it didn't come from UFO people. And see, because, you know, even when I'm having my analysis done, I never use UFO people. It's like the prosecution using only their witnesses to make a case, you know, make it, you know, it's just, I don't do it. So I love this case because this is the guy who's a veteran and he's at the VA. He's getting his checkup done. And last minute, he kind of said, hey, doc, you know, I got this thing in my hand. It's been there, you know, since I was active duty. Is there any way we can get it taken out? He gets an x-ray. Guy goes, yeah, that's pretty. It's almost on the surface. I can take that out. Numbs the guy's hand, takes it out. And the witness says, do you mind if I keep that? And he admits he doesn't know why he said that. And the doctor's like, okay. So he puts it in like a little prescription bottle and he actually dates it and puts a timestamp on it. And the guy goes, and he starts feeling like he's just had experiences that he's not remembering. So he brought it to Oklahoma UFO group, but they were kind of retiring a bit. So I got called in. let's do this. So let me direct it to some of them. So it went to the lab I use that's really for initial analysis. Like, is this something before I have to put like thousands of dollars, you know, like we do with the DNA? Let's have something there first. And the lab tech, it's magnetic. So you could clearly see on the video that it's jumping to that magnet. The other thing was on the other side of it, when you put the magnet out, there's kind of like these hair fibers that were kind of reaching out for it. Creeped her out so bad, she's like, take it. So I actually sent it to somewhere else. I can't disclose that right now. I will, because I don't keep secrets. You know, on my website, or even I give the name of the place I went. I don't keep my lab secret, the guy who did it, you know, all of it. I put out everything, because I think you need to be able, the public needs to be able to vet your experts as well. So anyway, that's where we're going with that. I really have further stuff to do with that. And I, honestly, I'm really wanting to the stars to jump on with me and help me with this one.
I'll look forward to keeping up to date with that one as well. I'm going to be really cheeky. There are still some more listener questions, but I've got one from me. So from a fan's point of view, you wrote a children's book, Are Aliens Really Real? How important is it to engage our children early in this conversation? And do you have any advice for a parent who would want to do that?
You know, that it's so funny, because every question really came from my grandson when he was like 5 years old. And I just kind of wrote them down. I didn't realize it was going to turn into a book, but then it did. And I thought it was a really great idea. But I think to really discuss mysteries and just really encourage them being curious and to do their own research and to make up their own mind. Because when at the end, the grandmother in the book with their grandson going through this little park with aliens and little aliens in the background somewhere, which is kind of an innuendo of, just because you didn't see him doesn't mean he's not real or he's there. And, you know, but, you know, the grandmother never says, yes, aliens are real. She encourages him to say, well, you know, some researchers really believe this, and, you know, they might have a little to that. But she really encourages them to make up their own mind. So that's, I would give them as much as they want to know about it, and, you know, but encourage them to be curious and not to be afraid to put boots on the ground and ask those questions. Like these kids, you know, I'm a grandmother. My oldest is 18. My youngest is 4. And, you know, I look at their little faces. This is our future. You know, just like the young guns, these are the guys coming up after you guys. You're going to be us one day, old and grumpy.
I'm grumpy already, and 34 is pretty old. But my little boy, like you say, your youngest grandchild is 4, my little boy's 4, and one of his favourite things to do is lay out on the trampoline in the back garden and use my binoculars to look for aliens, that he says. So he'll try and look at the moon, and which is great, and he'll say, oh, I think I saw a spaceship, or I saw this, and I just love him getting thinking like that early, so that's pretty cool. But the book is available on Amazon, and I'll be picking up a copy as well for my little boy. Next question from Paul. Is there anything Lou Elizondo told you previously that had little relevance at the time, but later turned out to be an Easter egg? Paul did ask this on Twitter, and you said yes a few times, so I'd like you to elaborate on that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it comes from a friendship. So, you know, we're sitting at a table, we're sharing food, we're having a couple cocktails, and, you know, there's just little things. And Lou trusts us to keep our mouth shut because we come from the same, you know, arena he does, you know, especially with my husband. He probably has told my husband more than me because my husband's security clearance, but, you know, and my husband doesn't tell me crap either, by the way. And it's just, yeah, definitely Easter eggs, but mostly it's been, and he does the same thing with Danny Silva. It's like, we'll get a text message that says, hey, this just launched. And he gives us a link or something. And, you know, we can put it out there first type of thing, or we can see it first. It really isn't about popularity. It's not this. This is getting ready to come out. And he does the same with Danny.
That's really cool. When you have those, obviously the Twitter picture of you and Lou sitting at the table is the one everyone always likes and retweets and whatnot. is there anything like you ask him or you want to know that he just doesn't discuss? Is there anything you would love him to give you the answer to, but you just won't?
Oh, heck yeah. Like, I ask him, like, I also have, like, that military background bearing, you know, and even my boys are military, you know, so it's kind of like only one thing meaner than a Marine, and that's his mama. So there's times when I'm looking at Lou, and I'm just, like, I know the language, and, you know, and he's just like, can't go there, can't go there. And, you know, this man would never, even to, like, my husband, you know, who is obviously honorable, but he would never disclose something that would be inappropriate. Never. My husband wouldn't, Lou wouldn't, you know, these are the guys that, you know, we grew up with, so to speak. You know, I've been married to Pete for over 30 something, but his career was over 30 years. So, you know, we know these guys. I know Steve Justice. I know Lou Elizondo, I know Chris Mellon, so to speak. These are where same people we are. So it really caused a lot. But that photo of the two of us was actually the first time I ever met him, and that was in a MUFON interview. And since then, you know, we stay in touch, and, you know, we're friends.
I'll ask a question that will hopefully balance out a little bit of my TTSA fanboy status, right? Given I've just admitted to buying all the merchandise on their website recently as well. Do you think Lou and the rest of the crew, because there's more than just Lou Elizondo in that group, but he's the front man for it, even more so, I think, than Tom. He's the face now. Do you think he is happy where they are at right now? Obviously, they say that officially online. Do you think they are making the progress that he hoped to be making at this point?
I do, because I know that they have put this ball in so much further than most of us are going to realize right now. And these are the guys to do it. I think he's very happy with the progress. I don't think he expected the backlash from the UFO community. You know, I think he expected when this day came out that we would all like rally around to try to help. And like, we've been waiting for this. Here's some great evidence, you know, but you know, the egos, and trust me, I know about the friggin' egos. I can't deal with them. You know, most of them are cowards, you know, running behind a big mouth, honestly. And, but Lou, I do believe he's happy where things are work-wise.
I think there's a mix with the backlash, which some of it I do understand, okay? I understand people or don't understand, and that's why I don't have time for a lot of them. But I think there's a mix of people are scared to get their fingers burned, and I put my faith in TTSA that they're going to kind of run with this, okay? If I had a religion right now, it would be To the Stars Academy and what they're looking to do, and I'm happy with that and taking their lead. But then I think there's a group that people talk about narratives. TTSA and what they want to do doesn't fit their narrative because, and again, I always throw out the same generic example, so apologies if this turns out to be true, but, you know, if we find that people that throw their eggs in the basket of there's this alien race from a particular star system and they come here and they bring us love and light and blah, blah, blah. And if that turns out not to be true, then that's going to be, you know, kind of detrimental. So they don't want that to be true. You've then got, like we talked about, those maybe UFO celebrities that make a lot of money from various, you know, books and agendas and, you know, bastardizations of the truth that maybe at one point they did have a bit of a knowledge of what was going on, but they have now chosen to make a couple of $100,000 off it. And they don't want the truth to come out. So I think there's a lot of that goes on within the community, and I can see where a lot of the backlash comes from, right or wrong.
Yeah. The backlash is, you know, to the Stars, it even surprised me. I wasn't a fan of To the Stars at first. I have to be honest. When they had that whole thing, I'm like, yeah, Rockstar is into, you know, secret intelligence meetings. A guy that just had an interest. So he's not the guy that actually had stuff coming in his hands, and I'm thinking, bullcrap. Then WikiLeaks friggin' drops the Podesta emails, and there's Tom DeLonge, and they're talking about these meetings. I'm like, holy crap. And, you know, so I just gave him a chance, and I just really looked into them, and I did the one thing that anybody should do is, you know, you call them. call To the Stars, call the building, you know, ask them if there's anybody available to answer a question. You know, knock on the door. They have a whole storefront. It's amazing. There's a security guard out there because, you know, Tom is a big star. And, you know, but it's, they're just, yeah, they're just awesome. You know, and I do believe that their heart's in the right place, and they've really done their due diligence to push everything exactly where it should be right now. Absolutely.
I had a little bit of a Twitter argument with someone recently who was claiming that they were in it for the money. Now, I don't know what Lou and Chris Mellon and those types' bank balances are like. I imagine far healthier than mine, given what they used to do. Tom DeLong is a very rich man. He has made a lot of money from, you know.
Do you know anything about the Mellons?
The family is.
He doesn't see a penny either. And, you know, so it's like, come on, guys. You know, we do have the charlatans that are in it for the money in the UFO community. And you either love them or you don't. So, you know, we have to remember that these guys aren't UFO. They're not ufologists. They're not UFO investigators. They're government insiders. And everything about them is going to be about national security. That's what they know. That's what they know best. They're not going to be, you know, all about love and light until somebody proves to them there's love and light. What they're seeing right now is things in our airspace that we don't know what it is. And that's a threat. They're not saying aliens are going to kill us all. They're just saying those unknown objects in our space is a threat to national security. And people freak out over that. And it's just like, guys, they're not UFO people. They're government insiders, national security. That's all they think. They know nothing else. It's crazy. But anyway.
On that topic of, you know, what we're seeing in our on that topic of what we are seeing in our airspace, Leaf had a question. What is the probability senators have seen longer versions of the Gimbal and Go Fast videos?
There are longer versions.
Have you seen them?
I can't confirm or deny I've seen anything like that. But there are longer versions, absolutely.
Do you think senators have seen them and the people on the Hill and Congress?
Absolutely, they have. Absolutely, they have. They have the need to know. They also have the clearance to see this kind of stuff. So, you know, when they're presenting their cases there, what we're getting in the public is as much as they possibly can give us. And they really are giving us as much as they can. Promise, I promise. You get into an intelligence committee and the need to know and the security clearances, that's when they're part of the discussion. And honestly, where things are right now with that, with our government, is we need to push for what's going on, what is going on with this whole topic. You know, can you look into it for me as, you know, the guy I elected in my state? And, you know, that's where we go. But these guys, they're on it from the inside. And of course, they worked at the Pentagon. What is the Pentagon responsible for? The security of every single citizen in this country. Or anybody in this country, tourists, illegal aliens, it doesn't matter. That's their job. That's all they think about. So, you know, the love and light and, you know, all that, I'm not even sure they even understand all that because they're not UFO people, if that makes sense. They're not studying all that. They're not reading everybody's books. They're not all into this. They're looking at national security, not UFOs.
So from forgetting or remembering, I'm not from the US, okay? I don't have an interest in US national security outside of everyone just being safe and happy in general, okay? However, I would be really disappointed if, I would imagine these longer videos do exist, like you say. I would be really disappointed if the only reason we are not seeing longer videos is because the videos would show recording on military capabilities that they wouldn't want adversaries to see, because I don't care what the US or Russia or China are trying to hide from each other.
They do.
Yes, they do. But
they do. And there's ways and means, and that's that. The ways and means of even how we get it, or how good is our camera? Like how far is it catching things? This is all stuff the enemy would love to know. You know, so the ways and means is very important. And of course, they're not doing this as, so they're not thinking like, let's keep this secret. The public doesn't need to know. They can't handle it. They're keeping it secret because they don't want to know. They don't want Russia or China or other adversaries and enemies to know how good our tech can be, because we're still using it. So that's the other thing that people are, they have to remember, these guys don't think like UFO people. They're thinking national security. So when they can only put part of a video out, they're giving us, I promise, every single little nugget they can, everything they can. Some things we're never going to see.
Do you know where I'm coming from, though? That what I would want to see is, for example, on the gimbal video where it rotates, I'm hoping it doesn't cut off at that point because it goes into HD mode or 4K mode or ultra zoom. Okay, what I'm hoping it cuts off for is because this thing rotates, shoots off, or more of them come into view, and we then see something a little bit more. Not that this thing flying along at the speed it is, and you know there's more of them on the ASA and all that, as we know now, it's been done to death. But I would like to think there's more to it that I would be interested in seeing. Not that, oh my God, look how clear that video is of that object in the distance, and imagine that was photographing or videoing some Chinese fighter jet, because that's not my interest. My interest is this is capturing potential spacecraft, and that would be my disappointment in it. But I totally understand the military perspective of, we don't want you to know. And again, I suppose it's one for the debunkers and conspiracy theorists. You know, when you see the gimbal, the go fast, and then there's the one where it just goes out a shot, and people have argued whether it's just losing focus or whether it's, but people are saying, no, it's shooting off at an incredible speed. And it's still just a blur on the screen. But then I suppose the more you add into that, it adds more to the US capabilities and what they could potentially film. So I get that. But again, I wouldn't care about that. I would want to, I think a longer video would just have a lot more cool stuff in it.
I think all of us would feel this exact same way. And, you know, the fact that this is a military video, it's they're only going to give us what they can. Lou, you know, knew exactly what he was doing. And he put out exactly what was permissible to do. But you know, this guy knows so much more, so much more.
Yeah. And I think just the end of Unidentified Season 2, when he stands up and gets a little emotional, which he doesn't tend to do, kind of told you that anyway. So yeah, I totally get that. And he's a patriot, and he's you know, he's very proud of what he's done, and he's clear in season. He sticks to that, as much as it comes across that it may frustrate him at times, what he would love to tell that the American public. And he's, as I hear from people who know him as well that I speak to, that he's a really humble guy, and he's not one for the fame and celebrity, which he now has. And I hear even getting him onto Twitter was a bit of an effort as well.
I know, right? We're trying. Like, come on, Lou. And that was awesome. But he's also a dad, and he's a husband, and he has a family, you know. So people want to put Lou or any of the guys into the stars. You know, these are our fellow Americans that, you know, really are doing the right thing and trying to do what they need to do. And I'll tell you, anything they can put out, they're going to.
Yeah. And I think that's one of those things, once they're on TV and they're a talking head, that their life to the people with an interest in that subject is, well, just talk about UFOs and talk about aliens. They don't realise that a Louis Elizondo or a Tom DeLonge or a Chris Mellon finishes that show and drives home and cooks their kids dinner and then has to deal with, you know, a stomach upset, or the dog has pissed all over the couch, or that still happens to these people in their lives.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, and they're just real people that have, you know, done something really good and got on there. You know, they're on TV. That's a big deal to some people. You know, to me, it's an avenue to get information out. I just finished filming a series that will be on the History Channel very shortly. And, you know, it's about all of it. But this show is not for UFO people. This show is for people that know nothing about us or nothing about the topic. So that's where we're hitting. So we're starting at a very basic elementary level. And hopefully each season just gets, you know, just a little more complicated. But we can't just throw the biggest out there and expect the public. And I think that's where a lot of the interest or disinterest is. You had an explosive story, not only in the New York Times, but on mainstream media, that they're actually saying, if this is true, it's the largest story in humanity. And he's absolutely right. That was Tucker Carlson. He's absolutely right. Where was the aftermath of people freaking out and, you know, just even wanting information? It just didn't happen. And I think it's because they get a big, big chunk like that. They don't know how to process. So part of this show is really basic. There's one part where, you know, somebody filmed something and I'm like, I understand why they think this is a UFO, but it's really this. But I understand that because I, you know, you don't want to put people down because, you know, they get excited because they see something weird. But I think that's where we are at this point. If we could do anything, even like on UFO Twitter, is to also remember that we have new people or people that don't even really let us know they're watching. You know, we have to remember that we can be the teachers or we can be the leaders or the most sincere. You know, the people that you're going to believe. I know many of the guys on UFO Twitter, I believe, I don't have to check their stories because they've already had that reputation. They've already been vetted. I've already checked them 20 times. You know, now they've earned that already. So, but even like Carl and, you know, Akam and, you know, some of the people out there, Joyce and, you know, Foya Boy and, you know, some of these people out there, you know, there's also friendships and people are starting to come together. And like I said earlier, you know, Deep, you know, I know he does something that I really, really needed in an investigation. And he stood right up. He was amazing. So, you know, but we also have to remember, we have to be the teachers. Not everybody knows what we do. Not everybody's at the level we are on information. No.
And some people don't want to be either, as you kind of find out as you go along and have those discussions.
Oh my God, right?
Yeah, I know it. And the last question before I move on to the quick fire round and finish off, from Darn Stadium. And I think I'm going to tweak this one slightly because in the context of it, the question's probably a bit open and out there. But given the first experience you talked about, I'll get there. So he had asked, or they had asked, what would you say to an alien being during a contact experience? But I would love to frame that and take you back to that night in the field when you came into contact with this little grey being. If you could go back to that sort of incident or have, you know, I hope it doesn't happen unless you want it to, an abduction experience again. So that's not something most people want to happen, even the ones that say they would like it. What would you say to a being if you came into contact with them again? Or what would you want to?
Yeah, the first thing I'd ask them is, you know, why are you here? What is it about, you know, Earth or humans, you know, that you're most interested in? You know, maybe we could help you or, you know, answer some questions for you or something. And probably another question would be like, do you guys know who shot Kennedy? Just saying.
I like it. Right into the zeitgeist of culture. Listen, there was so many topics, and thank you to everyone first off who sent in questions. There was even more than that, but I'll hopefully save that for a next time with Chase, because it's been great talking to her. Some of the things we didn't get to discuss I've put into the quickfire round, so you can say as little or as much about each topic as you want to. It can be one word or a, you know, paragraph, sentences. Tell us a story if you have to. Is that okay with you, Chase?
It is. Fire away.
Awesome. So the first one would be, what do you think is happening with the whole abduction phenomenon?
I believe that some people that report that they're abductees are not. And I do believe there is a whole bunch of people who are.
Okay. I'd like to follow that up. Do you think that some of those genuine abductions are earthly origin, as in potentially own governments doing the abductions, or do you think that would be too much of a stretch?
You know, I didn't always, and there was a big part of me that just didn't want to like deal with it. And then you learn about some of the things our government has actually done, and then you listen to people and who are these witnesses. When you start vetting these witnesses, they have no reason to lie. They have no reason to come out and do this, and their character is solid. So yes, I do believe it.
The next one would be your overall thoughts on the famous 2004 Nimitz-Princeton incident. What actually went on?
Exactly what they say. You know, you look at like Kevin Day and Fravor and these guys, they come from the same arena I do. They have no reason to lie and fabricate. It's not part of what they are or their world. It's just not. And to come out public like that, you know, when you have all these other fighter pilots, it's like, I know what that takes. My husband knows what that takes. And I absolutely believe everything they're saying, or they wouldn't have come out.
Is that U.S. tech or something else?
I believe it's something else, absolutely.
Okay. Next one would be the Wilson Davis documents or memos. Your thoughts?
Absolutely true.
100%?
Yep.
Awesome. I would agree with that. And I think there's probably more to come from those in the future, hopefully. Your thoughts on the Bob Lazar story?
The what?
Bob Lazar.
He's so controversial. I think he got caught between a rock and a hard place. But the fact that you have George Knapp involved, or even Jeremy, George Knapp from the beginning, I'm willing to give this guy the, I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. Absolutely. Because when George Knapp says he sees what he's claiming, done. So yeah, I'm going to believe him, I guess. Not on everything, but on the initial stuff.
Okay. And like we said, even if 10% of what Bob Lazar talked about is true, then that's pretty incredible in itself. So I would take that.
Right.
For you, is the right term to use UFO or UAP?
UAP actually brings it into a level that we can discuss with professional people like, you know, DC and whatever. But I listened to a radio show from Richard Dolan who says, we have to keep UFOs because that also reminds us of everything that happened before the Nimitz and all of that. So for me, I'm going UAP with a very fondness of, let's not forget that these UFOs have been here before.
I like that. And ultimately, I called my podcast that UFO podcast, and I did deliberate the UAP part, but I agree with your sentiments. Two more.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on Skinwalker Ranch?
Skinwalker Ranch, there's actually another place. You know, it's not as unique or alone as possible. I do believe a lot of stuff's going on there because you look at the caliber of people that were investigating. Again, these weren't, you know, boots on the ground, civilian grassroots people. These were scientists, military personnel, and, you know, and they didn't make a big deal about it way back then. Right now, it's because they can say a little more. They can put a little more out there. But you have, like, Redgate up in Montana. And if you just look up some of the stuff of that area, it will blow your mind. Skinwalker on steroids. And there's several other places, too, that have that same phenomena. So what that does is actually tells us that Skinwalker may not be fake, because the same stuff's going on here, been reported for decades, it's going on here and there. So, yeah, that's my take on that.
Since you've brought him up a few times, I'd like to follow that up very slightly. So you've mentioned Bob Bigelow. Bob Bigelow famously owned Skinwalker Ranch before Brandon Fugel. If you're Bob Bigelow and you have the interest in the subject that you do and the knowledge that you do, and this is someone who sat on, was it 60 Minutes and declared that alien beings are already on the planet and walk amongst us, and it's quite a big thing for someone like that to say, you know, and as he said, he doesn't give a damn. Why do you sell a property like Skinwalker Ranch if it's so unique?
I think because he had all the investment, or all the his questions were answered, and there's a lot of things that I believe he could also come out with. Unfortunately, in the meantime, his business has suffered a catastrophic, you know, laying off all these employees, and he lost his wife. And so right now he's probably not thinking of UFOs. And I got that actually because I contacted George Knapp by email, and I'm like, hey, any chance Bigelow's just going to say, you know, all this is coming out, this is what I have. And that's what George reminded me of is again, like, not everybody is like me that thinks UFOs 24/7, that this guy's running, you know, $1 billion, you know, businesses, and he just lost his wife. So, yeah, I think Bigelow selling it was, his questions were answered.
Okay. Time for someone else to ask some different questions, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, I've even done that investigation. So I go and I'll do one, and then I'll call another team in. And I usually used to use like Oklahoma UFO group, and you call them in because you want them to see what they can get, because, you know, it could either help your case in strength, or you have more questions to answer. So I love that. He did right by that. It was the right thing to do.
And I suppose it's like any guest I speak to on the podcast, it's never been their first interview, and it won't be their last either, I would hope. And it's maybe I'm just going to ask a different question to someone else, and maybe they get that little bit different context, or maybe the questions are just relevant to be asked again and have the answers heard. So, you know,
which makes you a good host.
Thanks.
Interviewer.
Thank you. And on that, the last one is looking for your opinion on disclosure. Are we seeing it? What is it? What's happening?
Yeah, I honestly think we have it. I mean, when you have the government openly talking about it, the president's like, well, you know, I don't believe much of it, but, you know, my pilots, you know, so there's a consideration he has. You know, we have to remember, this guy gets bombarded with everything. Obama, Bush, all of them did. And then you bring something to the table. Can you imagine being the guy that has to say, so, Mr. President, we have these objects, we don't know what they are, in our skies, so they're kind of UFO. I would hate to be that guy. Like, he'd be like, what? Like, all the crap on my desk right now, and you're telling me about a UFO? So I do think it's come out. The New York Times, the fact that the mainstream media, but also the people, there's a lot of other people. We have scientists and people that are, we're not even talking about, that are completely investigating all of this now. What about Naval Observatory right there in DC? You know, I want to find out what they're doing. You know, there's many places we can go and look.
Awesome. Thank you, Chase. Chase, just before we wrap up, do you want to let the listeners know how they can get in touch with you, discuss your website or any of your work?
Yeah, ChaseKletsky.com. And I also have the Field Reports with an S. .com, where I have like some of my favorite cases up, but it's not all of them, but just my favorites. And I don't do a lot of Facebook lately because I'm all about UFO Twitter. I swear that's all I spend my time in, UFO Twitter. And if they're not talking about it, it's not worth talking about. So you can find me on Twitter. It's just Chase Kletsky. Everything's just my name and whatever, at Yahoo. You know, it's just, yeah.
So Chase, it's been wonderful speaking with you. Hopefully it's not the last time, and we'll definitely do this again because I feel there's a lot more to talk about.
I had the best time. I was so looking forward to it. You rock. I'm a huge fan of the podcast, and anytime you want me back, I'm yours, mister.
Thanks. I'll take you up on that. Thanks, Chase. That is all for this week's show. Thank you very much for listening. Please remember to leave the podcast a review on your chosen platform. You can like, retweet and subscribe. That would all be very much appreciated. The shows are being uploaded onto YouTube as we speak more and more. You can sign up at patreon.com/thatufopodcast to access the shows ad-free as well. Please get in touch on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, That UFO Podcast. Of course, on Twitter, it's at UFOUAPAM. And again, folks, as always, keep looking up. You never know what you might see.
It wasn't a tic-tac and not quite a saucer. More like a hubcap designed by Chaucer. A little baroque and quite steampunk, like Alice was playing bass for the Parliament of Funk. The little fucker hovered right outside of my window, and when I shut out the screen, he made it an issue. I don't think he expected me to see his ass, but I'd had some champagne and smoked a little. Meditated game of fateful on meta. I can't imagine how it could have been any better. I got to the top. down the stairs and there he was. Mike, you awake? I was about to abduct you, cuz. I jumped back and nearly kissed myself. Then I climbed out the window after the elf. And I woke up in my bed and there was something on my head. And everything was weird and everything was red. And I called out my boys. They thought this was noise. They thought it was a dream. They thought it was my toys. They thought it was my problems. And they think I should seek therapy. And I don't know what to do because it doesn't really scare me.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.